This morning's scripture readings, one minor correction inserted in the bulletins, 1 Corinthians, is recording 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 to 20. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 to 20. As you turn to the page, shall we all stand together, read it together. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and gave us the ministry of reconciliations, that God has reconciled the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. This is God's word. Please be seated. I'd like to invite Elder John Huang to give the message.
Good morning. I don't know how 2 Corinthians chapter 5 became 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Must be some hidden transformation that I didn't know about. This verse we just read, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18, all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and give us the ministry of reconciliation. I want to share with you about this ministry and about who we are. Verse 20, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors. We are ambassadors for Christ. All this is from God, says here in verse 18. All this, what? We have to read a verse earlier to catch it. Verse 17 is one of the most magnificent verses in the whole scriptures. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. It's under this backdrop. Christ has given us a ministry of reconciliation. This is given to all of us. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. In the Greek text, there are different words for new to indicate what type of newness are we talking about. The common words for news is news. This word we use for news, for new resolution of the new year. We know the new year, even though it's new, it's really not new. It's something that's sort of a new again in time. We had that before, but this one is new. Like our resolutions, we had that before, but this one is new. The word they use in English very often is neo-Darwinism. We know the old Darwinism doesn't work too well anymore, so there's a new theory that come up called them neo-Darwinism, neo-Nazism, so forth. New in time, not in quality. That's not that Greek word that's used here in verse 17. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. English words use two words to express that newness. New creation, said here. In the original Greek word, kainos, it means new in quality. It's something that you have never seen before. It never existed before. It's something that's totally new. So that's translated into new creation or new creature. The old has passed, and everything, and the new has come. In this translation, this arrival of this newness echoes back to the first creation when God created man in his own image with his glory. Yet man has sinned, fall short of his glory. Man's under the control of the sin, and death has come to the world, and the world is under that curse. Something's been reversed in Christ. There's a newness that comes back in again. If anyone that's in Christ, there's a newness. There's new creation. Everyone that's who is in Christ is made new. A new that the world has never seen before. A new creation. This is the backdrop that we're asked to preach the good news to. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God has reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting man's sins against them. That's what the meaning of the reconciliation. God does no longer count man's sins against them because of the work of Christ. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the finished work of Christ on the cross. I pray that our lives may really catch the meaning, the deep meaning of the work that Christ has done in our lives, that we may understand the basic charge in our lives, that we are ambassadors for Christ, to bring the news of reconciliation to the world who sorely needs this good news. Father, I pray that you speak through the text, by your Spirit, in our hearts, that we may know you more and follow you more closely. Pray in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God has reconciled the world to himself. This word used here, katalasso, this word is also a very strange word, also a word that may be not the same word that we'll think about reconciliation. When we reconcile between two people, when two people reconcile, usually it's sort of on equal terms. I no longer call you names, you no longer call me names, I pay you this money, you forgive me, and there's certain exchange, certain agreements that brings about this reconciliation. But that's not this word used here. Katalasso is composed of two words, dang, change. It's something, it's one way. This reconciliation is done by God, him alone. He reaches down, he reaches to us, reconcile himself in Christ, so we may be reconciled to him. What we need to do is understand that God has done this and accept what God has done. We are ambassadors. For that, we are ambassadors of Christ, meaning that this message, that God has done this already, this message is given to us to bring to the world. So this is, again, speaking on the backdrop of the culture at the time. Of course, at that time, if one sovereign, one king, wants to communicate a message to another kingdom, another king, what does he do? He has no telephone, he has no fax machine, he has no email, he has no IM, if he's a Mac user, he doesn't have iChat either. What does he do? He sends somebody, this somebody usually sends a group of people over, and that group of messengers is headed by a guy. We call him the ambassador. He's the spokesperson, the leader of that group, representing the sending kingdom, representing the sovereign that sent him to bring a message to a different kingdom. The full name of an ambassador is something that's a mouthful. If you want to call an ambassador by its rightful title, he is ambassador extraordinary and plenipotentiary. This is something means that he is someone that's set apart, is not the same as anyone else, and he is invested with all the authority and the power of the one that sent him. So that's who ambassadors are. That's the word that's used to describe us. It's a ambassador is actually a relatively new invention, that term. Not until 1893 the United States sent their first ambassadors to other countries. It's appointed by the president and approved by the Senate. That's the way it's done. You may remember Franklin, Benjamin Franklin. He went to Paris and signed treaties, the Treaty of Paris in 1778, but he wasn't serving as an ambassador. At that time, there's no ambassadors yet. He's just a ministry that's sent over to do the job. Okay? But he functioned as an ambassador. Ambassador is someone that sort of represents the head of state. I know a little bit about the embassy and ambassadors. My father used to serve as serve in the Chinese embassy in Korea. He is the military attaché representing the Taiwanese army, the Chinese army, to the Republic of Korea. And I was just graduating from college, so before I came to the United States, I stopped by Korea to visit him. Now, he is now representing more than himself. He is representing the whole Chinese army, so there's a certain dignity that goes with that position that I saw sort of eye-opener for me. When I go there, he showed me the car. The car was a Buick in 1960, in the early 60s. Buick really rules, let me tell you. It's a thing that's huge and stately, and that's advanced. How do you start a Buick at that time? You turn the key, but nothing happens. Not because it's made in Detroit, but the starting mechanism is not there. The starting mechanism is in the gas pedal. You push the back gas pedal all the way down, engages the starter, the car turns over, starts up, you release the pedal, and the car's running. So this sets the carburetor and pump the gas and starts the car all at the same time, high tech at that time. It's this great Buick. He used to drive a little Jeep at home. Now he's different. He has this great Buick with a chauffeur and with flags with two stars in the front. When he goes out on official business, and there are policemen in front, police escorts. My goodness. Because it's representing the sender. Before he went there, the government gave him some money to buy clothes. Not that he didn't have any clothes, but the clothes that he was to buy are the type that he normally doesn't wear at home. That is the Chinese clothes. Okay. These Chinese formal clothes that sometimes you see on TV. Normally we don't have that, but since you're going out to a different country, you represent your own people, your clothes, how you dress, represent this people, that the people that sent you. Not just, this is not Chinese, you have to draw Chinese because you're representing the Chinese government. Ambassadorship represents the one that sends you. And so they also, in the embassy, it's actually obeying different set of rules. Embassy is actually a territory of the sending country. It's not part of the host country, right? And in the Second World War, when the Japanese overran Shanghai, my wife was a little kid at the time. She didn't remember very well, but she remembered one thing. That's when the Japanese came, the family lived near the French territory, and that's where the embassy, French embassies, and the French people live. So the family just sort of was. The parents pick up the kid and ran into the French embassy. They are going to a different country. So when the Japanese came, they stopped at the gate. They did not go in because this is a different country. This is not China. The Japanese is not at war at that time with France. So they cannot go in because it's a different country with different sets of rules. And that's perhaps why some of our diplomats in New York City sort of park wherever they want, thinking they are still in their own country. I don't know what they're thinking. they rake up a lot of fines, parking tickets, $21 million, and they didn't pay it. Diplomatic immunity, meaning that we are under different sets of rules. Of course, they abuse that, and the New York City said, well, if you are out of embassy, you are really in our territory, we can tow you and we can make you pay. And so that's the idea of embassy, that's the idea of diplomats. We are ambassadors for Christ. The first surprise, if you look at this verse carefully, is the ambassador, this word, is a verb. It's not a noun. We are doing that. We are ambassadoring, so to speak. We are doing the work of an ambassador. Not so much who we are as who, what we do. This ambassador is a verb. We are sent. Ambassadors are always sent. Sent always means it carries with it implicit authority of the sender. I remember in our household, normally in the Thanksgiving time, which is about to come soon, my wife would love to cook for the family the American traditional Thanksgiving dinner, turkey. And she'll cook a turkey and she'll cook all kinds of good stuff and she'll cook up a storm. And when the dinner's done, she'll send, usually the youngest, my daughter Karen, will send her out to tell everyone the dinner's ready. So she will go out with authority. Tell us, dinner's ready. Come and eat. You must come now. Put down whatever you're doing. You come. Okay. Because she is sent by mommy. She didn't do anything. She didn't cook the thing. But she has that authority. Things were done for him. The reconciliation of the world to himself, God has already done. I mentioned that the word reconciliation is a one word, one way word. God has done it. There's nothing that's required of us other than to accept it. God has done this. And God sends us, as my wife sent Karen, to tell the world, this is done. Come and get it. So, first of all, ambassador is someone that's sent. And also, ambassador not just speak what the message was given to, but also showcase the sending country. So that's the reason for all this strange clothing and so forth. It's to not only to say who we are, but also to show who we are. Now, this showcasing meaning that when we are amongst the people we're sent to, we have to represent the value of the sender. We have to represent the culture, the people. We are more than just a mouthpiece. We are also a showcase. An ambassador is also, very importantly, a foreigner. By definition, an ambassador is a foreigner. He's not part of this people. So he doesn't really get excited when his neighbor's house price goes up or go down. He's not really, I mean, he has, like us when we go to a different place. The place is not of your own. You don't really get attached to it, right? Like you go, you drive on the turnpike. Sometimes you have to stop at the rest area for a break. When you go to the rest area, you may see that there's no curtain on the windows. There's no flower on the table. You don't say, well, this looks so terrible. Let me put curtains on here. Let me decorate this place. Let me do this and that. And the rest of you say, what, are you crazy? You just pass through here. Right? Ambassadors are ones that has it sent from a different land to this place. We are ambassadors sent to this world. If you read earlier to the beginning of this chapter, chapter 5, it talks about the temporary tent. It talks about the house, eternal house that's built by the Lord. We're talking about where we truly belong. Ambassadors should not lose sight of that. And I mentioned earlier, we are not just a messenger, but we also bring the reality of the message to the world. I mentioned about this newness. Is this true in our life? I mentioned about this message of reconciliation. Is our life at peace? Are we at peace with our brothers, with our co-workers, with our neighbors? Is the message just a word, or is that true? We are more than just a word, because the words that we spoke, the credibility of that word depends on the reality of the truth that we spoke reflected in our lives. So these are the roles of an ambassador. And you might also ask, I think rightfully, that why didn't God, this is the important message God has to bring to the world. Why didn't God speak for himself? Why does he bother us, which we can't speak too well? And why does he sort of get us to do this work for him? We have to remember, God is a spirit. God is not really like us. He does speak. He makes our tongues and our mouths. He endow us with the power to speak. He himself certainly speaks. But he's not like us in many ways. Actually, he's mostly not like us. So the way that he speaks is much broader and higher than the way that we can speak. He speaks, for instance, through human history. Our history in time is a canvas on which he paints his ideas, his plans. He speaks in time, in our history. For people who learn about history, look at history carefully, he hears God's word. He speaks through his prophets and the Bible. He speaks through his Son, Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is incarnate word. In the beginning there was word, and the word was with us. He's God's word. He speaks through Christ. He speaks through his Holy Spirit in our hearts, individually, to move us, to illuminate us. But not everyone is a Christian. Not everyone studies history. Not everyone has a dwelling of the Holy Spirit. Not everyone pay attention. That's where we come in. God sent us to this world. To the neighbors who may not know Christ, who may not care, who doesn't know that the message is there. And that's where we come in. God speaks through us, through our lives, to show what he has already accomplished in this world. Now, what is the message that we're bringing? What is this ministry of reconciliation? There's a few characteristics. One is that this ministry is from God to everyone. It's from God, in other words, it's something that he has already accomplished. We read this verse 18, or verses 19, we see very clearly, God has already done this. He called us to do this. We didn't volunteer to do this. He called us. It's from him and is to everyone. Every one of us is called to this task. You know, what's different between life and non-life? What's the basic difference between a molecule called DNA and a polymer just sitting there, has similar amounts of atoms or molecules in there? The difference is one is coded, one carries a message. Life carries a message. What is your message? What is the message of our lives? It's coded in us, so to speak. We are ambassadors for Christ. We carry with us this message of reconciliation, this ministry of reconciliation. It's important for us. It's important for the world. Did you read this morning? There was another bomb that exploded in central Baghdad. Scores of people killed. There was a bomb yesterday. There's a bomb the day before yesterday. There are conflicts, there are fights, violence, even in our own lives. We see people can't get along with people. Say bad things about people from on their backs, backstabbing, do all kinds of bad things. What's going on? What's wrong? What's basically wrong is that man is alienated from God. Man has lost this glory that God has created him for, and man has been alienated, is being separated from God. When man cannot get along with God, so to speak, when man is separated from God, man can no longer get along with man. We fight. We live a very centered, self-centered life. You know, I also read from a physician whom some of you may consider him a quack, but he's really a real physician. He's, I think, has a degree from Harvard and is the director of a alternative medicine in University of Arizona. And he wrote something recently. He said, self-centeredness causes a lot of problem in your health. He cited some disease, such as depression, loneliness, some immunity-suppressing illness. He said these can be traced to man's self-centeredness. That's from a physician. That's very strange. And not only, it's something when man is sort of live for himself, separated from God, a lot of illness, a lot of bad things happens to himself and to the society. When man is separated from God, man not only cannot get along with man cannot even get along with himself. He wakes up in the morning, looks in the mirror, didn't like it what he sees. Didn't like the background, didn't like the family, didn't like this, didn't like that. Too fat, too skinny. Too little hair. When man is reconciled with God, peace returns. Peace between man and man, peace between man and self, and peace between man and the world he is in. The world is perverted because it's been separated from God. So man uses man and love things instead of other way around. The message we're carrying is a very important message. It's not something they always good for them to hear. A message that we carry very often, we are the only one who can get this message to the people that we are speaking to. Man, humanity at large is in trouble. Not only because of the trouble I cited, but also more basically, when man disobeyed God, spiritually he's dead. The day you eat of the fruit, you shall surely die. Speak spiritually. We are like flowers that's cut and put into a vase. We may look good for a season, but we're dying. We live in a world that's dying. Who brings this warning? Who brings this message of life to the people at large? We are ambassadors of Christ, for Christ. He has reconciled the world to himself through Jesus Christ. Accept Jesus and we'll be at peace with God. We'll be reconnected with life. I'll tell you a small story to underline the importance of this message. I mentioned about the Second World War. Now, when the Japanese overran Shanghai, they're at the peak of their glory. They not only overran Shanghai, they overran a lot of places, including Philippines. But there's a guy who vowed to come back. I shall return, this guy said. Man, McCarthy eventually did return. When McCarthy returned, some of the Japanese units were cut off from the main units. And the Japanese, of course, know there's a counterattack. So orders are given, stand your ground, fight to the death, that sort of thing. And there is a Lieutenant Unoda. Lieutenant Hiro Unoda, who lived at that time, who was on the Ruban. He retreated to the forest, to the jungle. And he was going to fight to the end. Except there's no more communications. He didn't know what's going on. And he was hungry. He was miserable. He eats insects and was bitten by mosquitoes and all that. And from time to time, he will swoop down from the hills and raided the villages for their chicken and pigs. So people knew some Japanese people, some crazy Japanese people up there. But they weren't sure. Until one day in 1970, now this is 25 years after the end of the Second World War, 25 years later, one of this Lieutenant Unoda's soldier was killed. And so they said, oh, look at this. This is the old Japanese uniform. So there must be some Japanese up there. And they're still fighting. And so this word got out. Some crazy Japanese up there were fighting. And in two years, one of them died of disease, and another one simply ran away, didn't want to fight to the death anymore. So this Unoda still stand his ground, fight to the death. This word got to Japan, and there's a young man by the name of Norio Suzuki, who heard of this news, and he decides he's going to look up, he's going to find this Unoda to tell him that the war is over. We live in peace now. America's an ally; it's not the enemy anymore. Somebody has to tell this guy. So this guy went to Ruban, went to the jungles to look for this Unoda at his own risk. Good thing that he was a Japanese, spoke Japanese fluently, I guess. And so when he found Unoda, and he told Unoda, the war's over. Look, this is the paper. Look, the war's over. And Unoda said, ha, propaganda. It must be sent by the American nations. I don't believe you. I only believe one man. He's Major Taniguchi. This Major Taniguchi was the one who sent him to God to defend that place and told him that he should fight to the death. He said, until this guy tell me to give up, I will never give up. So this Suzuki can't talk him into surrendering or giving up. So he had to go back to Japan and put an ad and say, where is this Major Taniguchi? And it turned out there was a book salesperson who was that major. He came out and said, oh, this Unoda is still fighting? So he joined Suzuki, went back to Ruban, looked up this guy, tell him that, peace. has to order him, sir. I order you. Reconcile with the United States. You are no longer at war. You are no longer at war. Do we have any passion for our Unodas that live around us, that's lost and still at war with God? Are we willing to do anything for them? We are sent by God. Here in the text, all of us are sent. All of us sent by God Himself. With the message that God has already accomplished everything that's needed for the salvation of man. Are we going to be that bottleneck so that people will never hear this message of life? God has chosen us through His glory, His purpose, to give meaning to our life. I mentioned earlier, life and information are related. Had there not been any information, there wouldn't be any life. There's a message of a life, basic message of our lives. This year, in the beginning of the year, I went to Hong Kong, to Hong Kong University, Chinese University, Technology University. This year, earlier in the year, I went to Taiwan, Donghai University, Providence University. I have the sense that God has sent me to preach the Gospels, this message of reconciliation, to the students, to the intellectuals. This year I've traveled to Maryland for gospel camp, spoken with the medical students, traveled to Detroit, traveled to Scotland, traveled to England, spoken to the people in Cambridge, traveled to Birmingham, England. I'll be traveling to Taiwan again on the week-long around the country tour to the different universities. Very often I wake up in a new place with new faces, sleeping in new beds, in a new time zone. I was born in Second World War. I long to see God will raise people in this congregation with a sense of mission. Not just this old things are done, that you are pastors, you are elders, you are mission committee, so you go out. Not so. This message is given to every one of us. Not God needs us, but we need that message so that we can value our life with that message. We have to be reconciled to God first before we can preach the message of reconciliation. That alone is significant to us. And God wants to make our life count. This is not our land. One day we'll return to that land. One day we'll face the master who sends us, the servants, for a simple task, very basic, simple task. We are called to be the messengers, to proclaim what message? That God has reconciled the world to himself in Christ. Christ has died for our sins on the cross. God no longer counts our sins against us if we accept and believe Jesus Christ. You say, I'm afraid, I can't speak this. This is speaking. I can't do that. No one's speaking, no one's talking about public speaking. Besides, we read in scriptures, God implores in us, God speaks through our lives, God speaks through us that message. It's not your faith that's on the line. It's not your work. If they reject you, they didn't reject you, they reject the one that sent you. All you need to do, all we need to do, is accept that basic charge in our life and be the messengers of peace, the messenger of reconciliation. If we don't speak, people die. Someday, we have to face that. While you're young, you're still forming your life. You say, what should I do later on in my life? Ask God. See in what way he will use you to be a messenger for his glory, to be a messenger of reconciliation, to bring this message of peace to the world. God has done everything that we need to do except our willingness to accept this charge. Now this week is the missions week. That's the basic charge. I didn't say that you have to go to strange lands, sleep in strange beds, in different time zones. In your time, in your neighborhood, in your school, even amongst your relatives, be that messenger. May God bless you all. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the basic calling in our life. If we ever seek your will, say, Lord, why are we here? What should we do? At least one thing we know, that you have called all of us to be ambassadors for Christ. Equip us, O Lord. Use us in whatever way that you see fit. You have equipped us and you brought us up all in different environments with different experience. We know that you have different plans, glorious plans for all our lives. Lord, I pray that we may be sensitive to that leading, that in our hearts there's a sense of obedience to you, wanting to know you more, wanting to obey you more. Bless this congregation, O Lord, that this whole congregation may be useful in your hands to be a channel of blessings to the people around us. Thank you, Lord, for your words. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.